Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw. It's the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to, available right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Also on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/Steven Larson, iHeartRadio, Google Play.
SoundCloud.
I already said SoundCloud.
Podbean.
I already said that too. You don't pay attention when I talk, I tell you.
No.
The internet is abuzz over my comments about Brock Lesnar and Larson. Mm-hmm. At least our Twitter kind of is. People are like, ooh. A lot of people like feel the same way I do about Brock Lesnar. And I was thinking about it even more last night.
Yeah?
Well, just what happens in your typical Brock Lesnar match?
A bunch of suplexes.
When you think of a Brock Lesnar match, it's all just Brock sauntering about the ring smiling like an asshole and then suplexing people.
Pretty much.
It's always very slow.
The first time he did that to John Cena, it was entertaining because we hadn't seen anybody beat up John Cena to that degree.
It was also like, wow. Shocking how many like suplexes he gave him. Like that's one suplex that he started, of course. And that was different. That was something different. But nowadays, it's obvious that he phones it in. Like he just sort of stands there and smiles and he walks around.
The Hell in the Cell match with The Undertaker was decent.
Mm. That was the best of their trilogy. Because they've had three, right?
Yeah.
That was the best of their trilogy. He can put on an interesting match if there's a good story going on, but I just feel like WrestleMania soured it for me, and then hearing about Ambrose talking about it really soured him on me.
Yeah,
so,
no, I agree with
from
that.
From now on, his name is Bathroom Break Lesnar.
Latrine Break Lesnar.
Latrine Break Lesnar. There you go.
Try to make it more alliterative.
More alliterative. Alliterative.
So we had a SmackDown last night, yeah?
We did have a SmackDown last
night. Do we have a sound effect for SmackDown?
A couple people complain about your Raw cap sound. Because it's too shocking.
It's not the first time I've done it.
It freaked out a cat, for one thing.
It's not the first
Another
time I've
person
done
had him in their earbuds, and it's too much. So I think from now on, officially, if you're going to do it, just do this. Just have some respect. Go do this. I don't want to have to go into editing and change it every time.
Raw! Like that? Is that better, people?
That's probably better. That's a bit less. Sometimes you go overboard.
Can I do this?
Sometimes you're too much.
Can I do it directly in the microphone like this?
No, you can't. That's the point. You know what I'm going to do whenever we do it now, when I do the edit? When you say Raw, I'm going to edit in my Raw.
So it's your Raw sound effect twice?
Two times.
I don't like that at all.
Sometimes you're just too much. Sometimes you're too amped.
Yeah. That's an adjective to describe me on a regular basis.
That's your problem is that you're too amped.
The guy who yawns during every intro of every podcast is too amped.
So SmackDown... Sort of, after the brand split, after the draft, SmackDown was down here, Raw was way up here, and they very slowly are evening
out. As I said in our Machinima recap, in a couple months, we're going to get two weekly guaranteed mediocre wrestling programs.
Look, I'll just say that you're right. I was entertained by SmackDown last night because I think they're finding their strengths.
Yeah.
And I think, okay, so for example, the show opened with the WWE World Championship title scene.
Yeah, that's incorrect. The show opened with Randy Orton.
I'm sorry. The show opened with your Saturday Night Live cold open.
Yeah.
With, I like that. With Randy Orton and Alberto Del Rio, who I like. I mentioned this on recap.
I like Alberto too.
There's word going around that his contract is about to expire and he's not looking to renew or re-up. However, I really hope he's the kind of guy who can make the IC belt look really good. I think he's sort of above the IC belt, but
yeah,
he's said in interviews that that's the one title that he hasn't got.
So that's the one he wants, yeah.
And that's the one he wants. So if I really hope they do re-up him and give him sort of a renewed push. You see that sometimes. If somebody's contract is about to expire.
Well, I mean, that kind of happened when he came back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, yeah. You know, I really kind of wish that they would have followed through with that whole Zeb Coulter thing. Because I just wanted to know what they were doing with it.
Yes.
Where were they going
with
that?
Very strange.
It was really weird. But anyways, it opens with Del Rio and Orton. And they have a pretty decent little back and forth. What did Orton, Del Rio, like threatened his shoulder or something like that? What was it?
Yeah, going into it, Del Rio said he was going to destroy Randy's surgically repaired shoulder.
Right,
that's right. And that statement played a large role in their match later in the night when... Mm-hmm. Alberto did all he could to destroy Randy's.
You may have mentioned this on the recap. It was very much like sort of an old school thing. You know, storytelling focusing on
working a body part.
Exactly. Yeah. Dean Ambrose, again, I'm referencing the podcast quite a bit, the Stone Cold podcast. But he said that was one of the things that he was talking about promos. He was very candid. He was talking about promos, and he was like, he said, you know, I thought that this part was fascinating to me. That he said, when they were in developmental, first in FCW, and then he was in NXT for a short spell.
I think so.
When they very first became
very
NXT.
Briefly. Yeah.
He said everybody said that it was like, oh, they don't really give you scripts, because he was like, yeah, we do all sorts of promo classes where they just say get up there and do it.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, we always heard that they gave you scripts here, but we didn't think that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Then we got here and we get a script. And so, and he was talking about that, and Austin was saying, it was interesting to hear both those guys talk about promos, because they're both really good. Obviously, Austin's one of the best.
Yeah.
And Austin was like, Dean said, you know, the promo can also help establish a story going into a match that you can focus on in the match if you want to go to it. And he said, for example, and then he went on and cut a really, really cool off-the-cuff promo about him and Austin. They're going to fight at the fairgrounds. And he says, Austin, I know things about you that nobody else knows. I know that you have a bum knee. And he started talking about what he's going to do to his knees. I'm going to chew it off. I'm going to take it off, blah, blah, blah. And he said, and then when he stopped, he said, that's the kind of thing that we can then go to or not go to. And now it's in the audience's mind.
Yeah.
And so that match, the Del Rio versus Orton one, is sort of like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I like when they do that. You know, they have a little built-in story for your match, and that's always good to have.
Yep.
So that was a strong segment. Cut to their weird Quantum Leap-esque titles with the beam everywhere, and it's like Blue Vomit.
Yeah, it seems like someone played Halo 4
mm-hmm.
and thought that was a cool idea for a title sequence.
Just too much. Yeah, I mean, SmackDown should really be like the smaller, scrappier. You know what? NXT has a really good... It encapsulates them very well, their opening title sequence. And SmackDown's title sequence looks like it should be for a show that's massive.
Yeah.
But they should really be the smaller
I mean, the way
looking
they,
show.
The way they shoot it makes the show feel smaller.
Right, it does, yeah. To its benefit, I think. Like,
I still don't like Crane, but I guess I'm kind of getting used to it.
They were more heavy on Crane's during promos last night as opposed to the matches.
Yeah.
which I think is fine.
Yeah, that's okay.
So anyways, I really like NXT's opening title.
Yeah,
I like their song and everything. Have you noticed that they added like a laser beam sound into it?
Yeah.
At every beat, it's...
Yeah.
I was like, what's that?
That's been in there for a while.
Not that long.
For a little bit.
Since like Joe's been champion. I
Not
think it was around...
That.
I don't know about that.
Since the last takeover, the takeover before that, I think I remember.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm, okay. Let's see here. So we get our cheesy credit sequence. Open up with Bray and the new Wyatt family, just Bray and Eric.
Yeah.
Eric Rowan in the ring. Bray cuts a promo talking about, I'm a victim of man.
Well, he was saying that Dolph, by exposing the turnbuckle, cheated to win. And therefore rob Bray of his chance to be champion.
Right. I like that Bray, for the first time seemingly, cares about being champion.
Yeah.
Cares about taking that. I want to know what Bray's going to do with the title.
He'll probably lose a lot, because that's what they do with the Wyatt family.
It's true.
I got a huge problem.
You got a huge problem with those people.
With the way they treat the Wyatt family. I don't think they're being fair to them. They're not being respectful. There's huge money in the Wyatt family.
There's so much money.
There's huge
there's
money in
so
Bray Wyatt.
Much money in
I don't
the
know
Wyatt
why
family.
They continually build him up a little bit, only to job him out. Every fucking time they do it.
And yet he's still a threat. Let me ask
imagine how awesome it would have been last night. The main event. I'm sure talk about it in more detail later.
Yeah.
But it was Dolph and Dean against the Wyatt family.
I thought for sure the Wyatts were going to win.
Yeah! I know! Have Bray, like, play off the opening segment where Dolph super kicks Dean, do some sort of discord between the two of them, builds their story leading up to SummerSlam, and have Bray take advantage, Sister Abigail, on Dean to get the pin.
Yeah.
Afterward, you can still have the bit where Dean gives Dolph the dirty deeds. You can do that as planned. Have the Wyatts win he's talking so much, Bray is, about wanting the chance at the title, but when he keeps on losing, or the Wyatt family keeps on losing, he's not credible. I know you say, well, he can just win a couple times and it's fine. To a certain degree, that's true. But come on.
Yeah.
Like, there's no dominant heel on SmackDown.
How would he be booked as champion?
He would have to destroy everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah. That'd be rad.
Imagine if they booked him like a monster heel, but a monster heel who could talk.
Right.
Be huge. And along with, you know, Eric Rowan, hopefully Luke Harper when he comes back, backing his play.
They need like 7 people in the Wyatt family. Can you imagine that? If Bray's standing there in front of a crowd and they just do what
How
he
much
wants.
Money is that?
That's a lot
it's
of money.
All the money.
It's all the money.
I can't oh but
every,
so,
every money they have.
It's so frustrating to me. How you feel about Brock is kinda how I feel about the Wyatt family.
I can tell. It's good.
Oh,
I know, it's so frustrating.
Like, why didn't he win last night? It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
It made every bit of sense in
all
the world.
All the sense.
And yet they had the Wyatt family lose. And it's so frustrating.
It's ridiculous. It's stupid.
And it's what happens every time with the Wyatt family. They build them up a little bit just to have them lose.
But do you think in this case, it's got to be possible that we've seen before where somebody will lose, lose, lose. Okay, here's the thing. Dolph right now is win, 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 lose.
Yeah.
Do you think this could be a matter of
lose, 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 lose?
No, I think this could be
win, lose, 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 lose.
Look, SmackDown has nobody. Bray Wyatt's going to have that belt. He's going to have that belt.
But just think about it. If they spent the next 6 months, wait, was it yes, 8 months between now and WrestleMania, just building Bray up to be like a monster. No one can beat him.
Yeah.
All leading up to a match for the belt at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Whether you have Bray win or Ambrose win, whoever's on the belt then, if Ambrose is the guy who ultimately defeats this unbeatable monster, Ambrose is huge.
SmackDown, I said
if
this.
Bray wins, then you have a dominant heel that you can work around for the next 2 years.
They need to go back and look at how like NWA was booked back in like the 70s, early 80s, where you had these really long feuds with really long title reigns.
Yeah.
And that's going to play, that could play to SmackDown's strengths because you have less depth the rest of the roster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But these guys up here are like so strong.
Yeah.
But you're right. You need to book Bray strong in order for that to work.
Over an extended period of time.
And you can have your cake and eat it too. You can book Dolph strong. You can book Bray strong. You can keep Dean the champion and book him strong. You can have all these guys strong, but it's like, you know, an immovable object versus unstoppable force type thing. But like a three-way thing.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to see Bray in a three-way dance?
He's going to interfere.
He's just going to interfere?
Yeah, so, I don't. I mean, they've already, it's already, what, a week away, SummerSlam? A little bit more than a week
Jesus,
away?
Yeah, we're a week away.
It's a week from Sunday.
Yeah. Fuck.
That's a little soon to be inserting him into the match.
Yeah. He's
and right now he honestly has no claim to be inserted into the match.
Yeah, that's true. Last night he overshadowed it. Bray Wyatt, this is the thing about it though. Bray Wyatt is overshadowing the main event. He's overshadowing Dolph Ziggler.
I know. And imagine if he was actually booked correctly. Remember back when we were rebooking the first episode of SmackDown,
correct.
We were saying back then, give Bray 8 months. Lay waste to everybody on SmackDown. Hit whether he's in the match or not.
Mm-hmm.
He just starts beating everybody up.
Yeah.
Him and the Wyatt family. All leading up to that moment where, like I said prior, if it's him and Dean, Dean's the one that beats the monster. Dean is huge.
Yeah.
If Bray is the one that beats Dean, you
then
solidify
Dean, then,
himself.
Then Dean is back on the path of trying to fight this
now he's the
immovable
underdog
object.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah.
It work, either way, it works.
Dean, especially after listening to the podcast, Dean Ambrose needs to be the Terry Funk from the, he needs to be the guy who either holds that belt or is always chasing the belt when this monster has it. And that's what it should be. And it should be Dean swimming in a sea of Wyatts, you know, to claw his way back. And the more Wyatts you have, the more stories you can tell with that.
Yeah.
I agree totally. Hopefully what they'll do is, regardless of whether or not Bray's in the triple threat, they should. Hopefully this SummerSlam match will. It's already brought Dolph's credibility up a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, his super kick is like the most devastating move on SmackDown besides Dirty Deeds.
I know.
It's devastating. And so after SmackDown, maybe, or after SummerSlam, maybe Dolph moves on to something else. And we just get Bray and Dean. Man, they had some good matches back in the day.
Yeah.
They had some really good
matches.
Yeah,
they had a decent feud a couple years ago.
Yeah. No. So anyways,
but, I mean, they should, I feel like they should interact, Dean and Bray, but they mm-hmm. should not have a match until they have their blow off thing.
Yeah.
Like build it all the way up. Not a singles match between the two of them until WrestleMania. If that's what they're going to do, if they're going to spend the 8 months investing and building up the story, they do not have a singles match until then.
You know, it'd be a huge, you know, it'd be great. It'd be great if they did. What if Bray interferes at SummerSlam and costs Dolph his, the title or whatever? The next SmackDown, have Dean drop the title to Bray. That would create such a fucking buzz about that show. And then until Mania, he keeps it. And then you get your blow off.
Yeah. And then that would be something. And then you have Dean go over, and it's a huge moment for Dean.
Yeah. Because you need SmackDown. Like, SmackDown's ratings just aren't. There's you need to keep things unpredictable, like that first week on Raw. Things were unpredictable, and you need to keep that going. Like,
yeah.
It surprised me that they don't book week to week just thinking, okay, we're not going to play hot potato with the belt, but we can do interesting things week to week. And Eva Marie's titties popping out, while that's cool, that's not unpredictable. I mean, it kind of is unpredictable, but it's not the kind of unpredictable I think where we want
storyline unpredictable.
Well, I mean, look, I'm fine titties popping out. I'm just saying in addition to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
Let's
see here. Then we had this big sort of... Bray comes out, cuts a promo, says, I'm a victim. Dean comes out, says, you're a baby. And then Dolph comes out.
Doesn't say a word, runs into the ring, gets his ass kicked.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then Dean comes in to help Dolph. Mm-hmm. Bray gets Dean in position for the Sister Abigail.
God, I love that move.
Dolph gets ready to go on a super kick.
Yeah.
Bray throws Dean in the way. Dolph super kicks Dean. And then the Wyatts are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Dean's laying the ring.
I'm here to show the world. Backstage, Dolph and Ambrose are heated. They're getting into it.
Yeah.
Shane and Daniel Bryan show up. It looks like they're such a couple of nerds. All right, guys, hold on. Just for, they're like school principals. I like vice principals.
I like that you change their profession every week, pretty much.
I do. This week, they're vice principals. They break them up, and they say, all right, playa, you're in a tag match in the main event. You two versus the Wyatts, the Wyatt family. And in our main event, that was our main event.
Yeah, we touched on that a little bit.
Yeah, we touched on that. You touched on that very hard with the Wyatts.
They shouldn't lose till WrestleMania.
They shouldn't lose till WrestleMania.
Or even after that.
I like that. Bray looked great with that belt slung over his shoulder.
He looked fantastic.
He looked great. The American Alpha team versus Mikey O'Shea and Sasha Derevko, a.k.a. Mike Vega. This was great. Okay, this is the continuing saga of why I'd prefer to have the revival in SmackDown. There's that American Alpha comes out. They're all full of happiness.
Energy.
They're like the Apollo Crews of the tag team division. They're just happy to be there. They're very physically gifted in the ring. The only difference is that Gable and Jordan have like boatloads of charisma that I haven't really seen yet with Apollo.
Did you see American Alpha on Talking Smack last week?
I did not.
Okay. So I know they're on. I know they were talking to Renee Young and Daniel Bryan on.
Were they indeed talking smack?
I don't know about that. But I was curious if you had seen it to see how they were presenting themselves in terms of their characters.
They said we're the best tag team there is. That was basically their whole thing. That's their thing right now. They're just pure baby. We're the best tag team there is. We're the best. Happy to be here. That's their thing. No edge whatsoever.
They would give some good promos in NXT too.
I know they would. Here's the problem. And we mentioned this on recap show on Machinima. In NXT, they've picked up their thread from NXT with nowhere to go. Because in NXT, they start out as a reluctant tag team, or Jordan was reluctant to be in a tag team with Gable. Gable was trying to sell him on the idea, and eventually he won him over, and they started having success, because winning matters. Winning changes everything. So you had this sort of underdog team, these two guys who sort of were reluctant to be together, then they had success, and they understood and appreciated each other, and they were happy about their success.
Yeah.
You move up to SmackDown. Now their happiness doesn't really have a motivation.
Yeah.
Because that's done. That was in NXT. They got to where they are.
Yeah.
Now they should be trying to achieve a new goal. They should be determined and not just happy to be there. They do this whole, especially Jason Jordan, who is a big dude. He looks like a stud. He looks great. He looks like $1 million. And he comes out and he hunches over when he does it. And this makes him look small. He hunches over and he does the fist pumping thing. And he's so happy to be there and they're high-fiving. And I don't care. And I don't care because I don't know why they're happy. I mean, I know they're happy maybe to get more money because they're on main roster now. But like, I just don't know why.
Also, when they were wrestling NXT, they were feeding off an audience they had built a relationship with when they would do that stuff.
This is why it would make so much more sense for the Revival to be on SmackDown, because, and okay, and this is the treatment they got. American Alpha comes out, they're facing two jobbers. One, close to our heart, Sasha Derevko, local guy. And all the other tag teams,
such as they are,
the Ascension Vaudevillains, Zack Ryder and his imaginary friend, Mojo Rawley.
Collectively known as the Hype Bro.
The Hype Bro, exactly. They all come out, they surround the ring to scout the American Alpha team.
And I told you this in the recap, is like, if this is American Alpha's competitions for the soon-to-be SmackDown tag belts,
they should be feeling great.
Just hand them to American Alpha.
They just give
don't even put up the pretense that they're going to have any sort of tournament, because no one else has a chance.
Exactly. Exactly. So they all come out to scout these guys. And, you know, it was a squash from start to finish. They just completely killed Mikey O'Shea and Mike Vega, Sasha Derevko.
Afterwards, though, all the other tag teams got in the ring, and we had a huge tag team brawl.
Here's my problem with this, dude. The Revival is a team that prides itself on being old school. Fists not flips.
Correct.
Okay. So they automatically have the kind of confidence that you would then want to scout. Because you come to the ring and say, okay, what's the chink in these guys' armor? What weaknesses do they have?
And why do any of these teams need to scout American Alpha when they were all, within the last year or so, maybe with the exception of these?
The Vaudevillains know them very well.
In NXT.
Yeah.
What is there to scout?
The Revival, on the other hand, already have the feeling of, we've been there, we've done that. Even though they're a relatively new team, because they're still in NXT.
Yeah.
They have the aura of been there, done that. American Alpha has the aura of rookies who are happy to be here. That's why it would make so much more sense for the Revival, who are a team that feel like they belong in an established show, as opposed to American Alpha, who, if they were given another year in NXT, would then be rid of that happy to be here thing.
They would have moved on to the next phase of their characterization as a team.
Exactly correct. That's why American Alpha should have stayed in NXT, had a great program with the Authors of Pain, which would have got them to that next level, because they're no longer happy to be there. Now they've faced adversity, real adversity, because those guys are huge and they're mean and they don't wear fancy things. They just whoop ass.
Yeah.
They're basically, I mean, the Authors of Pain are kind of like the Revival-ish. I mean, they're both heel teams. They're both take no prisoners. They're both no frills.
Yeah.
That's their thing.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense for American Alpha, who are a team that are diametrically opposed to these guys, to still be there.
Oh, yeah.
Putting them over. They get over.
Yeah.
It makes so much more sense. They could have
had a great 4-month program between those two teams.
Yeah. Yeah, but instead, and the Revival, cock of the walk, chest pumped out, as opposed to, yeah, we're happy to be here, and Jason Jordan's doing a weird slump where he's not showing off, this is how big I am, I'm a big dude. That's my problem. It has nothing to do, and people have given me shit on Twitter, at Real Going In Raw, when I say things like this, and they're like, oh, fuck you, I like America. I've got that before. The vast majority of you guys are very respectful, but every once in a while,
we're huge American Alpha fans.
We're huge fans of these guys.
Like
and
them
we
a
think
lot.
In 5 years, they're going to be, as singles competitors, huge.
Yep.
I mean, it's not surprising. It's not a mistake that people will chant Kurt Angle's theme when Gable's out there.
Yep.
Because he has, in so many positive respects, a lot of the same qualities as Kurt Angle, and people are excited about that.
Yes.
So we're huge American Alpha fans. It just, when you are placing things where they should be, it makes so much more sense for them to be in NXT. And NXT is a fantastic brand. It's not.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, oh, they should dump them back
they
off
should
on
be
NXT.
Demoted. Yeah.
They should be running that tag division as the anchor, as the gold standard, and going up against the Authors of Pain, who are, you know, monsters, you know, that's what they should be doing.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, the Scooby-Doo gang going up against terrifying Frankenstein monsters.
And another thing, I don't think having American Alpha face some local enhancement talent is necessarily the best way to showcase
their skills. I don't do shit
the
for them.
The best way to showcase their skills is to have them in consistent competitive matches that shows off how good of wrestlers they are.
Right.
Not 2-minute squash matches.
Right, exactly.
Because you're not going to give them any sort of decent character material to work with.
Right.
Put them in good matches.
Right. Yeah. Let's see here. Miz and Maryse
Oh, that was funny.
Floating in the ocean that Renee Young calls the SmackDown news
desk. This is a case where, as I mentioned the first week it debuted, there's opportunities for good comedic bits.
And that's how they're... Somebody's listening to the show, Larson. Somebody's listening to the show.
I think so.
Look, we haven't fallen out of the top 150 on iTunes sports category for quite a while, so maybe somebody's actually paying attention. I don't know. Miz and Maryse, they joined up as the guests.
Exactly.
And then they run a package. They come back, and they're both laying on the desk, literally about to have a live sex show right in front of Renee Young. I'm hoping she gets involved. Maybe Dean Ambrose comes in. He gets involved. We get all
that.
I mean,
the set's large enough to accommodate
everybody. The set is huge. You can have the entire roster having a live sex show there. I'd love to see that. That'd be amazing. That'd be fantastic.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that'd be great. So, yeah, they were just doing their thing.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
I don't even care anymore that the IC title is going to waste on The Miz because they're entertaining.
Yeah,
so
they
why
are.
Do I care?
Yeah, they're pretty entertaining.
I mean, honestly, Apollo Crews is probably going to win this thing at SummerSlam, although I don't know. Miz is doing such good work right now. I'm really hesitant to think they're going to put it on him.
Why wasn't Apollo Crews, why wasn't John Cena, and why wasn't AJ Styles
John Cena
on the show?
John and AJ boarded a plane to New Zealand.
Oh.
Yeah, crikey. We're not going to be here. We have a lot of people in Australia. I'm not going to start pissing them off with my fucking stupid accents. Let's see here.
But if your show is already short on main event talent,
yeah,
you kind of need them to show up every week.
Holy crap. You know what I forgot to do? I forgot to do this at the top of the show. Thanks to everybody who's on Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We totally passed the $2,000 mark, Larson. We're closing in on that next goal. We're going to sort of reevaluate our goals and stuff because, like, the next milestone.
We're already doing it.
Is another podcast. We're only doing, like, we're already doing, like, two additional podcasts.
Yeah, I think we're going to go in a couple weeks and kind of revamp things on the page entirely.
This is the thing, so nobody freaks out. Look, number one. Anybody at any time we totally don't hold anything against you guys if you drop out of the Patreon thing. If you've gotten your reward and you're like, okay, well, I'm good. I've supported. I'm dropping out. It's your money. We appreciate anything and everything and any support, and we wouldn't put it against you. I know we've changed our streaming schedule, and so if some people found that they could make the streaming schedule before and now they can't, would not put it against you. We love all you guys, everybody out there that's putting in on this. But that's exciting. We passed the $1,000 mark, and I just wanted to give a shout out, even as from yesterday, Jermaine Dale, Bobby Ensley, Eric Barron, Dan Renslow, Lorenzo Bellini, Sam Disney, and Tim Souter all put in money on the Patreon. So we want to say thank you very much. Patreon.com/Steven Larson. I always like giving the shout outs there. The Miz and Maryse, I honestly think that Miz, they're so money together. I've come around on the fact that the IC title isn't really... I mean, we can let Baron Corbin, Kalisto, and Apollo Crews sort of figure out who's next in line. Because I think Apollo Crews obviously has made the best case for being the next guy. But I don't think any of them are at the level of entertainment value that The Miz is at. And I think SmackDown needs to have their champions be top level guys.
Oh yeah.
And The Miz to me right now, like what he's doing with Maryse, is he's turned me around. Like to me he's kind of top level-ish. I'm not saying he's world title, but on this dilapidated roster.
Yeah.
This depleted roster.
Yeah.
I can see Miz as being a believable world champ, and I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know if I go that far.
All right, maybe you're right, but still.
What he is now, I think right now, is a ceiling.
Yeah, but it's a really entertaining ceiling, and I'm happy.
I mean,
I'm
he'll be entertaining for 2-3 weeks, and then he'll do something, and then we'll say, why the hell is Miz on TV? Why does he have the belt?
My thing is this, like, with the roster the way it was before the brand split, it made total sense. You need to elevate that IC belt. But, put him in a program with Alberto Del Rio, and I think they both can make each other look really good.
They
make the belt look really good. So maybe that could be next. I'll put it this way. I would rather see Alberto Del Rio and Miz feuding over the title than Apollo Creed and Miz fighting over the belt.
I would like to see them try to build a storyline around build a storyline around Apollo Crews and The Miz fighting over the Intercontinental title.
Because they're not doing that now.
No, there's no story right now.
Yeah.
And there's
But because of that,
more than a week away.
As you know, regardless, they should be doing that. The Miz still looks like he's on another level or two over Apollo Crews.
Yeah.
Just by virtue of the fact that he's a veteran, he's a former world champion, he's a current IC champion, and him and Maryse are just in their own world, and they're hilarious.
And that should be the story, part of the story they're using to build up to this match.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But they're not. It's weird.
I know.
So anyways, let's see here. In the women's division, is a fascinating beast on SmackDown.
Yeah.
It is a fascinating beast, and it has me captivated.
I'm happy that they're giving the women's division a decent amount of time every week.
Yeah, they are. They're say what you will. They're utilizing. Somebody mentioned this on Twitter. They're utilizing everybody. They're really trying to get the shine on everybody. And there was some really interesting stuff going on this week. I mean, it didn't all work necessarily.
No, but
they're out there. They're trying to do something with them. It's kind of interesting. Becky Lynch comes out for a they're going to try to do this Becky Lynch versus Eva Marie match.
Yeah.
Eva Marie comes out to another great. Intro voiceover guy. She checks her leg, makes sure it's okay.
Yeah,
gives the old thumbs up, and then her titties come popping out.
She had a wardrobe malfunction.
She did some maneuver, and her straps came down.
They didn't show it. They like cut away and they cut back.
Okay, is that one? Because then I thought I was just paying attention to Twitter because all you guys at Real Going In Raw do a great job of keeping me busy during the shows when I'm live tweeting on Mondays and Tuesdays. And I look, and she's like, oh, my God. I was like, am I looking at what I'm looking at right now?
Yeah, they cut away, and they cut back, and she's holding her top up.
Yeah, her boobies. And so they cover her up. She leaves. Becky Lynch gets on the mic, thank God, and says, I want to fight. And I love Becky Lynch so much.
Yeah, she's good.
Alexa Bliss comes out. It's her birthday. She's ready to throw down. I love Alexa Bliss. I think she's great. I think she's got a great future. She comes out. They put on a decent match. Alexa Bliss ends up going over. I like her finishers.
Yeah.
I like she does the setup one, which I forget what it's called. And then she does the Bliss, whatever it's called.
The Twisted Bliss.
Yeah. And then she gets up on the top and she does the splash.
But to set up the win, Eva Marie comes back out with a new bit of voiceover.
That's right. That's
now
right.
Ready to compete.
Yeah. Now ready to compete.
Eva Marie.
Exactly. And then Becky Lynch is
distracted.
Distracted. Alexa Bliss picks up the win on her birthday, so good job. I thought that was a really well done little scenario. Also in the women's division, Carmella, who I still feel needs to... She changed it a little bit this week.
Oh, okay.
She changed up her shtick a little bit. And I don't see her getting far from that character that she's always been.
Yeah.
But maybe with more reps, it'll come off as less awkward. I don't know what it
is. I think that's half of it, is she has the thing, which is obviously still influenced by her relationship with Enzo and Cass.
Right.
But then when she does on her own, it feels really stiff.
Yeah.
And hopefully if she just does it more,
still a couple. Carmella and Big Cass. Because they were as of the Breaking Ground thing. Oh. And I don't know if the brand split has affected them in the way it supposedly affected Alberto Del Rio and... Page. I don't know. Anyways, so she comes out and this time Natalya tries to break out on her. She hits X, breaks out.
But Carmella reverses.
Carmella is able to reverse it. And they get in the ring. Natalya gives her a good working over. Does some good highfalutin showboating.
Showboating.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty funny. Like, she sat on her. That was funny.
Yeah, that was good. And then Carmella gets the upper hand. She makes her tap out.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool, man. I think that's a big because now you can have Natalya beat her a couple times, reestablish her dominance, and Carmella does look stronger for it.
Yeah.
So it's not just a one-sided.
And also, I think the way they booked that match helped cover up some of Carmella's... I mean, granted, Natalya's a great wrestler.
Yeah.
But Carmella, doesn't have as much experience, obviously.
Right.
So the way they booked that match kind of covered up some of Carmella's shortcomings as an in-ring competitor. Yeah. And also gave an opportunity, if she does a program with Natalya, to maybe learn some stuff.
Yeah.
Because Natalya's really, really good.
Well, you put them in, you put somebody like Carmella in the ring with Natalya. That's why this works so well, is that you put her in there with somebody who knows how to work with other people. Who knows how to make other people look good. And that's sort of like, that's always a turning point for a wrestler. If you can start making somebody else look good, then you've been around a little while. You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And in the continuing saga of Heath Slater, my personal favorite storyline right now.
I will say this. I noticed you put a tweet up while you were live tweeting saying that his conversation with Rhino this week would convince me that my I don't know if I would say dislike towards Heath Slater. My apathy.
I said it would turn you into a fan. I think what I meant was it'll turn you a little bit onto him.
And it was good. I don't mind Heath Slater when he's not screaming.
Yeah, I know. When he's it depends on what he's saying though. I don't know, because that whole thing when he'd get in the ring recently and shoot on the fact that, you know, he's the best unsigned free agent. And you want me to sign my resume? I thought that was funny. I thought that was legit funny. He sort of, again, talking about turning corners, he sort of turned the corner from the guy that just annoys me to the guy that, like, I like unironically.
Yeah.
Like, he surpassed the I like him ironically. Now I just kind of like him.
But that was a good back and forth between him and Rhino.
There was a lot of good chemistry between those guys because Heath Slater was essentially asking Rhino to job for him.
Yeah.
He said, my two kids, and then up to four kids.
Well, I said, I got two kids at home. I just put in a swimming pool. Mm-hmm. And Rhino says, I can't lose to you. I got constituents back home to
That's
impress.
That's right.
Now that he's a candidate for public office.
Yeah, he said, my four kids are my constituents. I thought you just said he had two kids.
And then Rhino asked him, well, what kind of pool you got?
Yeah. It was a very subdued conversation. Yeah. It was hilarious.
The only time Heath kind of raised his voice is like, what does it matter what kind of pool I have?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he says, I have a very nice above-ground pool.
Like he was self-conscious about the fact that it was an above-ground pool.
Well, I think, you know, above-ground pools typically aren't seen as extravagant as below-ground pools in-the-ground pools, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. It was a great little moment. I thought for sure Slater was going to go over and get his contract. But you were right. They're going to carry the storyline out.
They're going to milk this for months.
And I'm fine with that. Because, of course, Slater ends up losing to Rhino. They do a great close-up on Slater when he's in the ring defeated. Where you really feel that this guy has let his family down. And he doesn't know what's going to happen next in his life.
Yeah.
You know? And it's funny, too, like a little side note here. When they were showing him in close-up, they cut to the Wyatt family little thing, the blah thing. And I was like, is he going to join the Wyatt family? A lot of people tuned in. Is he going to join the Wyatt family? What the fuck? But it wasn't. It was just coincidental. So anyways, cut to backstage. Shane and Daniel Bryan are back there, the vice principals. And they have a contract in hand for Heath Slater.
Yeah.
And they're saying, boy, he showed a lot of heart back there. I know he didn't win, but we should sign him anyways.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Of course, Heath Slater, in a comedy of errors, comes backstage, head full of steam, says, screw you guys. I'm better than this place. I don't need your contract. Thinking that, they, you know, because he lost, he wasn't going to get it. Didn't understand, didn't know that they were going to offer him one. He storms out and he says, well, I guess he's not going to sign this. So the continuing saga of Heath Slater, which I find thoroughly entertaining at this point, and is a highlight of SmackDown to me. They did run a Cena AJ package. We should note that.
Yeah, rather than have them actually be on the show.
I know. It's so weird. Like, they couldn't cut out, like, it's a live show. They couldn't cut out right after the show and get there. But then when you're traveling to New Zealand, you're like traveling into the future or the past or some shit. So they had to make up time, I guess.
Future, I think.
Yeah, you're traveling to the future. Right there, it's just past, like, we're filming this at 1:20. Right there, right now, it's like 4:00 in the morning tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, you want to answer some questions?
Hey, let's answer some questions.
Matt,
if you guys want to do your question, just follow a little prompt at the bottom. Hit us up on the Twitters at RealGoingInRaw and hashtag it FQ.
Correct. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Matt Linder. Will Ambrose face any repercussions for his shoot on Brock? I don't think so because it was brought up last night on Talking Smack.
Interesting.
When Renee Young was talking to Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan said, yeah, there's a lot of superstars on Raw who are lazy.
That's fucked up. I would think this. I would have actually speculated that he would have gotten into more trouble talking about the scripted aspect of the show.
Mm.
That I would have thought he'd get more trouble in. But I don't think Dean Ambrose cares. And I think, and if he's right, he says Vince McMahon. He says I'm Vince McMahon's favorite wrestler. And I think Vince was sitting off camera because Dean kept on looking at him and saying, "Yeah, he's not going to tell you anything else," or something like that.
That's
I don't
funny.
Know. It was cool. I think Vince is really high on Dean Ambrose. I think he is. I don't see how you couldn't be, like, especially watching that. A lot of people are like, the podcast is awkward. I thought it seems like Dean. He came off as so fucking real. That's what surprised me about it. Like, this dude who is who he is who you see, became world champion.
I know.
That's crazy.
Frosty Gambino. First off, was Steve a little triggered yesterday?
I love that term. Triggered makes me laugh so hard.
And do you think the PG era is slowly fading away?
I think the PG era has been kind of done with for a little while now.
Yeah, they're probably, what, in a PG-13 era now?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Something like that?
The new era is sort of...
new era.
Is the new... Last night it was the nude era.
Almost.
Eva Marie.
John Rush.
What a rush! What a John Rush!
Sorry. What do you think of Braun's podcast with Austin? Really makes him seem like a great fan.
Braun!
And brought me around to him. I haven't heard it yet.
I haven't heard it yet. I'll maybe when I go for my jog today, I'll pop on the podcast.
George Richards, if you could choose, this is a great question. If you could choose five parts of memorable championship belts and make them into one belt, what would you pick and why?
Okay, we need wings, eh?
Yeah, and also wings. I want the United States, like the map of the United States, the U.S. title.
Like the brushed mirror.
Yeah.
Like it's a faded mirror.
So that in the middle with the wings around
NWA it. NWA belts always look like they made the belt and they put them outside for 5 years in harsh conditions.
To tarnish them a little bit.
A lot. 5 years. Those things were very tarnished.
Yeah, I know. So you have the United States... with wings around it.
With wings around it.
That's two things. We need three more.
What leather do we want to use?
White leather.
White leather? Okay.
No. Like the turquoise leather the warrior had for the IC
I was going to say yellow, but turquoise works better.
Turquoise,
I like turquoise.
Yeah.
Okay,
turquoise
that's
leather
good.
Is better.
Okay, so we got three parts of it.
So turquoise leather.
Mm-hmm.
Map of the United States.
Map of the United States.
Wings.
Wings. Oh, but the map of the United States spins.
Okay, good.
So we got the spinner.
That's good.
And one more piece.
Can we just have the fist come out of it?
It's never been on a belt, though. Okay, we'll have the fist.
The fist come out.
The fist will come out.
That's the best addition to any
Oh,
belt.
No. What? No, dude, come on. The Triple H belt.
Oh, yeah.
We got to have Triple H faces all over it.
It's the map of the U.S. is emblazoned with the face of Triple H.
Exactly, yeah.
Precious Cartoons. Do you guys think we'll get a broken Heath Slater angle sometime soon?
Once 2K17 comes out, somebody needs to make that belt.
Yeah, that's a good belt.
Yeah.
Broken Heath Slater.
No, that belongs, unless he goes through an incident, that belongs exclusively to Broken Matt Hardy.
T. Austin 17, plan the 2-year plan you have for an Ambrose championship run. I think we have the first 8 months.
Yeah.
All building up to a program and a blow-off match against Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania.
Him and Bray. Just him and Bray trading it back and forth.
Yeah, for 2 years. That's good. Bobby Hensley. Do you guys have any idea what they're doing with this Eva Marie thing on SmackDown?
I do believe that somehow, some way, it's going to turn into... Maybe they'll have a battle royal for the like a number one contender spot. I don't know what they're going to do.
Oh, for the SmackDown Women's
Belt. For the SmackDown Women's Championship, it's going to end up being Eva Marie. They're going to build this type of heat up so big. And Becky Lynch is going to come out on top. She's going to be the first. She needs to be the first.
You don't think they're going to do the opposite of that, where they're going to build this heat and then somehow have Eva Marie... The only time, like the first time she actually wrestles is to win the belt.
Win the belt. It wouldn't surprise me, but I think they know better. I think the whole Finn thing makes me think they know better now than to do that. They need to reward Becky Lynch. They have to.
Oh, yeah. I hope they do. Paradoxal... M1, you mentioned on the Going in Raw podcast, Benjamin returning for WrestleMania season. What about him in the inevitable annual IC ladder match?
I mean, that's sort of traditionally what he did back then. I remember he was in a lot of ladder matches.
Yeah.
And a lot of IC belt things.
Yeah.
According to, I think it was Wrestling Observer, might have been PW Insider, I forget. It was mentioned that the original plan for him was to keep him at an upper mid-card level, so maybe in the AJ Styles area,
yeah.
Which would, I think would be probably better than the IC title.
Yeah.
But if you have Miz and Alberto Del Rio competing for the IC title, goddamn it, did I say Dorito?
Yeah.
All right. I'm okay with that. You're always, but I like it. Alberto Dorito. I didn't mean to that time. Miz and Alberto Dorito.
Okay.
Challenging for the IC title. That Shelton should be immediately at their level.
Yeah. Robert Hay.
Hey.
Do you think Del Rio could be a champion again in the future?
Yeah. Bob Hay here.
Yeah, I think Del Rio could make a play for the WWE World title.
Sign an extension, sign a new contract, and absolutely.
Joshua
McKee. But not within the next 2 years, because that's all Dean and Bray.
Yeah, Joshua McKee.
Becky.
Who do you think has done better with their women? I think he thinks SmackDown. Raw is featured the same 3 to 4 each week.
I'll say this. Raw feels bigger. SmackDown, to me, is more entertaining.
Yeah.
Make of that what you will. Whatever you prefer, you know?
Mizael Riviera. Or Rivera, sorry.
Nice name. I like their Twitter handle, Sexual Voodoo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The tag division on SmackDown is so small, like 4 teams. Do you think the tag on SmackDown and Women on Raw should better benefit brands? Oh, I see what you're saying.
Should there be like a tag division on SmackDown and a women division on Raw as opposed to, wait a second, do you think tag on SmackDown and women on Raw?
I think he's just trying to say, should they improve those divisions on each brand?
Or is he saying, should they be exclusive to brands?
I don't know.
I don't think they should be exclusive. I think each show needs to be its own wrestling promotion.
Yeah.
That's how it should be booked. And so they each need their own thing.
Yeah. Connor J. Do you think Luke Harper will end up on Raw with Braun, then have Sister Abigail on Raw and SmackDown?
I think Braun is done with the Wyatts. I think he's his own thing now, and I think Luke is going to go to SmackDown.
Yeah. Bailey Beaver. Who are your man and woman crushes on the WWE roster right now? His are Alexa Bliss and Kevin Owens.
Those are good crushes to have.
They are.
Mine would be...
Well, your female crush is Paige.
Yeah, but I'm over her now. She's nowhere to be found. She's injured. She's got backstage heat. She's with Alberto Dorito. I was going to wear my Paige shirt today, but I didn't.
Okay.
Instant, I didn't go glorious today. A lot of good compliments on the tie and shirt.
Yeah.
But I'm sporting... This is the gift of black shirt. Drink it in, man.
Okay.
My crush right now, for a spell it was even Sasha Banks, my crush right now is probably Becky Lynch, man. She just kills it. Think about it. Ever since the Divas Revolution thing came about, she's been the one constant. She's been consistent. You know, Charlotte's had her ups and downs. Charlotte's had her ups and downs. Sasha's had her ups and downs. I mean, she's been injured a little bit.
Yeah.
Becky Lynch has been there every step of the fucking way, wanting to fight day in, day out. She always looks like $1 million. She always is great on the mic, and her merch looks great. She's the perfect female women's division package. She needs to be. That belt, whatever that belt looks like, the new women's division championship on SmackDown would look great on Becky Lynch.
Who's your male crush?
I know I have one. I probably have several.
I'll say mine are Sasha and...
Oh, God, are you kidding me? Finn. Of course it's Finn.
Oh, yeah.
It's
for you, Finn. Obviously.
It's definitely
yeah.
Finn. That jacket, boy, that gets me going every time I see that.
Do you prefer the collar popped or unpopped?
Oh, popped. Okay. I like when he's popping it.
Okay.
That's what I like.
The action of popping.
The action of popping is always... Gotcha. That's my man crush right there.
I'm going to say Sasha, and I'm going to say... Man.
You want to snug up with Kevin Owens.
A little bit. Yeah. Either him or Bray. Bray's got a nice beard.
Oh, yeah. Bray's a beautiful man. I love him. He's great.
Adam Galloper.
Big old... Or, you know what? My dark horse candidate for man crush, Rusev.
That's a good answer, too.
I love that beef.
Yeah.
I love the beef.
You didn't want him to put away that beef.
I don't want him to put away the beef. Put away that beef. Put away the beef! How is that not the... That's not the line of the century. Put away that beef!
Put that beef away. That was so good. Adam... Yeah, that should be fucking Reigns' new catchphrase.
Put that beef away.
Put that beef away. Adam Galloper. A Nexus... This is a great question. Composed of sitcom characters...
Oh, Jesus.
Same age as the time of airing.
Okay.
Invade the WWE. Who were in the stable? How many people were in the Nexus?
Fucking like 7, 8, 9, something like that. We can call it. Let's see, the original. Not only the original Nexus, but the Nexus.
This is the Wade Barrett, right?
The Wade Barrett version of the Nexus, like
Wade, Daniel Bryan, right?
Yeah, Wade, Daniel Bryan, Ryback,
Heath Slater,
Darren Young, Justin Gabriel. There is another dude, African American fella, but no, it wasn't Mason Ryan. He came along later. He was an OG Nexus. I forget what his name was. I always think that it's Titus O'Neil, but it's not. But it was another big black dude.
Hmm.
And I forget who it was. He used to wear a mask.
Oh, okay. I remember that guy. Dude? Yeah,
and
yeah,
he's
yeah.
gone for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to him. So that's it for now. Let's say 7. Whatever.
Okay.
7.
7 sitcom characters.
B. Arthur.
Well, you need a sitcom character.
What was her name?
You want Dorothy. Maude? Or do you want her name from...
Blanche?
No.
What was her name on Golden Girls?
Blanche was Rue McClanahan.
Yeah. Who's Estelle Getty? I know all their real names.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't remember what their fucking...
All right, Bea Arthur from Golden Girls.
Bea Arthur from Golden Girls.
That's a good one.
The greatest American hero, William Catt.
Okay.
You go.
George Costanza.
I like all of mine are Norman Lear characters.
I know.
George Costanza. Hold on.
Buster Bluth.
Mackenzie Phillips.
Did you put Buster Bluth on there?
Buster Bluth. That's great. I like Mackenzie Phillips.
That's five?
That's five. I don't even know Mackenzie Phillips' name in whatever fucking show. What show was she on? It wasn't Different Strokes. It was... And Valerie Harper was on it. No, it wasn't Valerie Harper. It was... who was dating Eddie Van Halen?
Oh, Valerie Bertinelli.
Thank you, yeah. No, was it Valerie Bertinelli?
She was on a sitcom. I don't remember which one it was, though. I like that we're all named... By and large,
Sandy Duncan!
Oh, Sandy Duncan.
Sandy Duncan, that's who I want,
Oh,
too.
So that's the show that used to have Jason Bateman on it, yeah.
Oh, the robot girl from Small Wonder. She's got to be in it, the robot from Small Wonder. And everything they do is just overcranked or undercranked.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's great. There's your nexus.
All right, Ronan Leonard, last question. If you two had the chance to be part of the WWE, what would be your gimmick and what would be your ring gear?
We'd be Skyler and Haas.
Skyler Haas?
Skyler and Haas. What would be our ring gear?
This is individual.
Oh. Oh, really? We're not going to be... No. Look at episodes of Fuck Wrestling. Look at my shit. Or NXT Steve. And look at my shit. I love my gear. I've got the horns.
Yeah.
It's all yellow and black. I've got a gun.
Do you still have the blindfold?
I've got a blindfold. I've got a crucifix necklace.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not a particularly religious fella. I've got like a bullet vest. I've got some cool tights. I don't do trunks. I got some cool tights. But then I also like me in 2K. Look, whatever I do as myself in the 2K games, that's what I'd want to do.
In the 2K games, I come out in underwear with sometimes a jock strap over
Yeah.
it. And then I have wrestling headgear.
Yeah.
And usually no shoes.
And
no shirt.
My latest iteration of Fuck Wrestling, I believe I basically just have Finn Balor's Fonzie gimmick. But Paige comes out with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's me then.
I want to come out in a suit of armor.
Oh, and I'm just covered in Jimmy John's endorsements. I stole that from P. Break Lesnar.
I want to come out in a suit of armor. I mean, if Roman Reigns could wear a vest, why can't I wear a suit of armor?
And also, I'm wrestling for Dory Funk's Amarillo, Texas promotion.
Oh, okay.
But I'm going to convince him that I can shoot a wrestler
shoot
in the butt. You guys need to check out Colt Cabana's Art of Wrestling podcast with Terry Funk. It's a wealth of awesome old school information.
It sounds pretty great.
Including the fact that Tommy Dreamer wanted to shoot a wrestler in the ass as part of an angle
Insanity.
In the ring.
Insanity.
And Dory Funk said, no way.
Insanity. Yeah. We have one video question.
From a returning, defending video question MVP, Richie Watson. Richie, what do you have on your mind today?
Hey, what's up, Stephanie and Lastinia? I was just wondering, has there ever been a wrestler you just didn't like from day one? The character or just them in general? And to me, that has to be Matt Hardy. Or I should say, Broken Matt Hardy. He's so broken. But I've never liked him. He just, to me, he's come down as a douchebag, and I'm probably the only one who doesn't like this final deletion thing. Delete. So get everyone going, delete, delete, delete. It's a broken record. Sorry to say. Yeah, I'm salty, but it's good. You need salt. You sweat it. So come at me, bro. That's my question anyway.
I think the only wrestler that really stood out to me, and sometimes I think I might be unfair, there's two of them.
Okay.
There's two of them. And I've been kind of well-known on record, and I feel kind of bad. I don't like, you know what? I don't like being negative. If I'm going to be negative, I like that it's on somebody like Brock Lesnar. Or like in your case, it's negative on how they're booking a character who they could be making a lot of money on. MVP and Mr. Kennedy were around at the same time. MVP always bugged me because of his look. I thought he was a really, really poorly designed creator wrestler because he had sleeves, but then shorts, like, and it was a singlet. And then he had like goofy jewelry and he had like the football, like tape stuff around the eyes or the whatever they put on there. I didn't like his look. I never saw anything appealing about his in-ring ability. If they bring him back, I could totally be on board with him because when I saw him, I was just like, I don't like this guy at all. I didn't get it. I didn't like it. And then Mr. Kennedy to me was never anything but a guy who, like, they would lower the microphone for and he would say, Mr. Kennedy. Like, that's not a fucking story. That's not a gimmick. And then years later, I find out that he's Mr. Botchfest and he's, like, hurting Randy Orton and John Cena, two of the biggest draws of their generations. And he just, and then he goes to TNA and runs down Triple H.
Yeah.
It was just all bitter. And I hope he's doing well for himself. And if he ever comes back, that'd be cool. Like, I hope that he doesn't botch anymore. And he was a TNA world champion. And I wish him well. I wish good things for him.
Yeah.
But I saw them day one and I was like, I'm not into these guys. I'm not going to root for them. They're not bringing anything that I appreciate.
The first name that came to mind for me was Batista.
Oh, yeah.
Granted, I didn't watch as often back when he was popular as I do now. And it wasn't until the end of his last run when he obviously just kind of didn't really care that I found him entertaining.
Yeah.
And then how he's carried himself since he left the WWE this last time. And what he said about it.
Classy dude, smart dude, charismatic dude.
Yeah.
He had the disadvantage in my eyes, and I think in yours too, as being your prototypical Vince guy.
Yeah.
In terms of his look.
Yeah.
And he had, on top of that, he had the little belly button star tattoo, which always was really distracting.
But he was never, you know, that good in the ring.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the thing about Batista. There were two times when I actually really liked him. One was when they booked him against Triple H as the baby after turning on him in Evolution.
Yeah.
I got carried in that wave.
Yeah.
Of when he went down like that and decided to compete for Triple H's title.
Yeah.
Because by that time, he had been established. He was no longer just the big brute guy. He was his own guy.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a turn, a baby turn, that was executed really well.
Yeah.
And then towards the end of his run, the first time around, before he went to Hollywood, when he was a heel, and he would wear the really douchey hipster, like the sunglasses inside, and he was just a dick, but he did it really in an obnoxious way.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were watching at that
point.
On
and off, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember seeing his retirement speech.
Mm-hmm.
He was pretty funny.
And even me, I was sort of on and off, but I think I was a bit more on than off. And I was watching that and I was like, that's a quality heel right there. That's a quality heel run right there. And it was kind of akin to when The Rock was doing the heel Hollywood sellout guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And people weren't automatically cheering him because he had been gone for a long time. Like, he was around. He was a Hollywood guy. He was a dick. And people, it was a decent heel run. Same with Batista. But yeah, when he first came in and they were just obviously pushing him to the moon. I mean, not when he first, he was Deacon Batista when he first came in, but when they did the Batista thing. But yeah, for me, it was always MVP. They were always, those guys always just looked like perennial US title guys. That's what they always were. And I never saw anything more in them about that.
Yeah.
And they never proved me wrong about any of that stuff. So my intuition, I believe, was correct. They have been deleted. But evidently, they want to bring MVP back. So I don't know. Maybe he can prove me wrong. And maybe I'll be a fan of his again.
Yeah.
Or for a first time, rather.
Yeah. All right, that's it.
I think that's it for now, Larson. We're going to be back on Friday with the Dirt Sheet with all sorts of salacious news and rumors and gossip and all that great stuff. You know, as always, if you guys want to ask us some questions, do so at Twitter, @RealGoingInRaw, #FQ.
Yes.
Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.